is an extra episode of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Japan Airlines Flight 1628 UFO encounter. On November 17, 1986, Japan Airlines cargo flight 1628 was flying over Alaska on a regular route. The flight was led by Captain Kenju Terachi, a veteran pilot with almost 30 years of experience and more than 10,000 hours in the air. His crew included co-pilot Takanori Tamafuji and flight engineer Yoshio Sakuba. Everything went normally until 5:11 p.m. That was when Captain Terachi noticed two bright lights about 30 degrees to the left of the plane and 600 meters below it. The aircraft was flying at an altitude of 10,600 meters and moving at around 910 kilometers per hour. The strange lights seemed to match the plane's speed and direction exactly, as if they were pacing it. The crew watched them for about 7 minutes. Then the lights suddenly moved toward the plane and stopped near the cockpit, only a few hundred meters away. The cabin filled with light, and Captain Terachi said he felt the warmth of the glow on his face. Now close up, the objects appeared to be about 50 meters across, roughly square in shape, and gave off bright amber jets of light. Each craft had a dark center with rows of circular lights on either side. Worried, the co-pilot contacted Anchorage Air Traffic Control to ask if there were any nearby aircraft. The controller replied that there were none. The crew explained that they could clearly see two unknown objects about a mile in front of them. When the controller asked for more details, they said the lights were white and yellow, though later interviews suggested they were actually yellow, amber and green. These colours are unusual for aircraft lights. While the crew tried to describe what they saw, their radio was filled with static and heavy interference. Captain Terachi later said the sound was like zah, zah, and it happened whenever the objects came close to the plane. After a few minutes, the objects seemed to vanish. The radio returned to normal, and radar no longer showed anything unusual. Anchorage controllers then contacted the Regional Operations Command Center, known as ROCC, a military facility run by NORAD, to see if it could detect anything on its radar. While they waited for a reply, Anchorage picked up a radar signal that appeared to be behind the Japanese plane, about 5 miles away. However, the crew reported the object to be in front and slightly to the left. This difference could have happened because the object seemed to move quickly around the plane, sometimes appearing in different positions. When ROCC responded, its radar also detected an unknown signal in roughly the same area. The military confirmed there were no US aircraft flying there at this time. This meant the object was now being tracked by three separate radar systems, the one on JAL-1628, the Anchorage ground radar, and the NORAD military radar. The controller said the object was unknown because it did not send out a transponder signal. Normal aircraft automatically send a signal identifying themselves, but this one did not. The radar was picking up reflections from something solid, but whatever it was, it could not be identified. As the flight passed near Eielson Air Force Base and approached Fairbanks, the captain noticed something even more astonishing. When he looked back towards the pale light behind them, he saw what he described as the silhouette of a gigantic spaceship. He estimated that it was twice the size of an aircraft carrier, roughly 600 meters long. The co-pilot, seated in a different position, said he could not see it because of the cockpit blocking his view. Alarmed, the captain immediately asked for permission to change course to avoid the object. Anchorage approved his request, allowing him to turn to a new heading. The captain said over the radio, "It's quite big," and repeated that it seemed to be a very large plane. For several minutes, the crew tried to evade the object by turning, dropping altitude, and even performing a full circle, but it seemed to follow them closely. After about 8 minutes, they lost sight of it again. Although the crew could no longer see the object, the military radar at ROCC still showed something following JAL-1628. Anchorage controllers asked the captain if he wanted fighter jets sent up to investigate, but he refused. Later, he explained that he knew of a past case in which a US fighter plane had been destroyed while approaching a UFO, and he feared something similar might happen again. Shortly afterward, the object appeared again, in the same position behind them. To confirm what was happening, Anchorage contacted a nearby United Airlines flight, UA-69, which was about 110 nautical miles away. The controller asked if they could move closer to see if they could spot the object. The UA-69 crew agreed. As they approached, the Japan Airlines crew said the unknown object began to drift farther away. When UA-69 got within about 12 nautical miles, its crew reported that they could see the Japanese aircraft clearly, but there was nothing else nearby. They could see its contrail, and no other airplane or lights around it. Anchorage then asked another aircraft, a military plane called Totem 71, to check as well. The crew also saw only the Japan Airlines plane, and no sign of any other craft, either visually or on radar. By that time, the JAL-1628 crew had lost contact with the object on both radar and by sight. The flight continued without further trouble and landed safely in Anchorage at 6:20 p.m. A few months later, Captain Terucci was reassigned to desk duty by Japan Airlines, reportedly because he had spoken to the press about the event. Several years later, he returned to flying before eventually retiring in Japan. The radar data used to analyse this event came from Anchorage Air Traffic Control between about 5:16 and 5:47 p.m. The radar system, known as the ANFPS-117, was a long-range military-grade radar that could scan the sky every 12 seconds with an accuracy of about 50 metres. Radar detects objects by sending out pulses of electromagnetic energy and waiting for the reflections to return. The reflections are called primary radar returns and show the physical location of an object. Aircraft also carry devices called transponders, which automatically send back a stronger and coded signal called a secondary return. If the primary and secondary signals come from the same location, they are called correlated returns. If they come from slightly different places, they are uncorrelated. For this investigation, researchers used the secondary radar data to track the Japan Airlines flight because those signals are more reliable. They also checked the UFO's movements using correlated radar returns. The data was turned into three-dimensional coordinates using computer software, allowing scientists to estimate the speed and acceleration of the unknown object during the 30-minute window of the event. The radar data revealed very unusual patterns. When the paths of the airplane and the UFO were compared, they appeared to cross, but in reality, they were at very different heights. The plane's altitude was between 5 and 6 nautical miles, while the UFO was usually only 1 or 2 nautical miles above the ground. The UFO's movement showed a repeating pattern of 11 sudden jumps. In each jump, it seemed to travel about 70 nautical miles in just a few seconds. It also moved around in a small area, showing signs of deliberate and controlled motion. The calculated speeds were extraordinary. The object reached between Mach 52 and Mach 350, which means it was travelling at 52 to 350 times the speed of sound. No sonic booms were reported, even though objects moving that fast through the atmosphere should create loud shock waves. The calculated accelerations were even more extreme. Fighter jets can handle about 9G before pilots begin to lose consciousness, and modern aircraft structures can withstand about 15G before braking. Even the most advanced missiles can begin to fail around 35 to 50G. The strongest acceleration a human has ever survived is about 46G for 1 second. The radar data showed that the UFO made several movements with forces of up to 10,000 G. At that level, no known living being or human-made object could survive. These forces would destroy any aircraft and instantly kill anyone on board. All three members of the crew saw the lights and described the event, which makes the number of eyewitnesses fairly strong, though not perfect. The crew members were all trained professionals with years of experience. but there were small inconsistencies in what they said. Some of these differences likely came from language difficulties, since the Japanese crew's English was limited. For instance, at one point the co-pilot asked about traffic at the 7 o'clock position, even though they later said the objects were in front of the plane. Another example is how the colours of the lights changed between the first report and the later interviews. Captain Taruchi also had a known interest in UFOs before the incident, which could have influenced how he interpreted what he saw. For these reasons, the quality of the eyewitness testimony was rated as good, but not perfect. Soon after the event, a group called the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, or SICOP, released a statement saying the crew had simply seen the planets Jupiter and Mars. However, this explanation did not match the facts. On the night of the incident, Jupiter and Mars were visible low in the southeastern sky, far away from the direction the captain reported seeing the lights. They could not have appeared to move rapidly toward the plane, hover near it, or show up on radar. They also could not reflect radar signals. While it is possible that distant planets might have been mistaken for lights early in the event, they could not explain the later radar data or close visual encounter. In the end, the case of Japan Airlines Flight 1628 remains one of the most detailed and puzzling aviation encounters ever recorded. The crew's testimony, the radar data, and the official transcripts all came from reliable sources such as the Federal Aviation Administration and the US military. The records clearly show that an unidentified object was seen visually and tracked on radar for over half an hour. The radar data suggests that the object performed manoeuvres far beyond the limits of any known aircraft, moving at speeds and acceleration that no human pilot or technology could endure. Yet because of possible radar errors and inconsistencies in some of the witness statements, the incident cannot be fully explained or confirmed. Even so, the official evidence shows that on the evening of November 17, 1986, over Alaska, a large and mysterious object appeared near a Japan Airlines cargo plane, was observed by its crew, and was tracked by multiple radar systems before vanishing without a trace. The event remains unexplained to this day. Today I was talking about the Japan Airlines Flight 1628 UFO encounter. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. Or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.